belongs to the games and to the dice playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I want to win the games and to dice playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and more entertainment radio.
Alright, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode number 93. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
Damn it, we almost didn't even get a chance to record today after 2 weeks. We just spent the last like 45 minutes screwing around trying to make this happen because my computer decided to all of a sudden refuse to record anything. This is not good. So I pray that this works out.
We're now recording on my computer, but I didn't have it all set up like C4 does, and so hopefully this will turn out okay.
Yeah, because it looks like we're not being picked up at all, which is the scary part. When we play it back, there is audio there. And you do have some disk space on there available, right? Like 2 gigs plus? Mr. I usually have like 20 megs free. Good thing we said something. Now that we got a couple gigs free, let's see here. Where to begin, man? It's been 2 weeks, and you know what I've noticed is really weird about doing the show? Is like, you go back 2 weeks, or I go back, you know, like 2 weeks, and I can't remember stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brain is geared to only remember shit for a week.
Right. You know? What we did.
Yeah. What happened? What cool stuff came out? So it really messes me up to try to think back to 2 weeks. That was a long time ago. But I got some cool little stories and so forth. And this is going to be a very weird show this week.
A little bit, yeah.
This is going to be, I think you might need to really talk into the microphone more than usual because I can't tell if you're being picked up or not. But, as everybody knows, I was out of town, which is, you know, why we didn't get to record last week. I'm very sorry about that, but, I had a whole lot of fun. I'm not somebody who goes outside very much, so, you know, I had to go out of town and go hang out and stuff, and I had an absolute blast, and it was kind of scary that, like, you know, I know now that I can actually have that much fun outside. That's kind of a dangerous thing to think about. So, I don't know, I had a great time, though, and it was a lot of fun, but I really missed doing the show and everything. Got to spend, like, 6 hours at the DMV.
That is such a crazy story.
I'll tell you what. No, dude, I went to 3 different DMVs. 3 of them.
We have 3?
We have the little express one I was at for an hour.
Right.
Where they gave me the bad news and told me to go fuck myself.
It's a really cool place if all you have to do is something that they do.
Yeah.
I don't know how many cities have that. I'm assuming most
of
the big cities.
Most of the larger ones, yeah.
That if you go exclusively to the large one, try the express one because it really is express comparatively.
It is. I mean, I was there like an hour, and they have chairs for you. So then I had to go to the big DMV, right? Like the massive one here.
Place is like an airport.
Dude, I've never been there before, and I just like the most soulless, lifeless people in the world standing in that place. I'm like, dude, how long have you been here? And I got there. I'm lazy. I got there at like noon or 2, I think, you know? And there was like people that were there from like 11 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So then I'm stupid and I miss my number. They give you a number like a ticket now right. Serving. And I'm like,
yeah,
holy
Jesus. Computer voice comes on and says,
dude,
please go to gate G3.
And there's tons of them though. And they're moving so slow. I mean, they would go through like, okay, I was number 391. And when I walked in, they were on 299. Oh. Right. And it's like G291.
Right.
Then there's like K88 and
right.
Like all these other numbers, and
because
I was freaking out.
The different letters have different reasons for being.
Yeah, registration was general. You know, my issue was registration was all screwed up. Then I missed the number, and I'm like, dude, I'm not waiting in this line again because the line, like, I walked in and got a number right away. Okay, when I left, and then like I kept coming back and going back and forth, and then I stepped outside for like a cigarette. I think I fell asleep in the car for like 10 minutes. That's what happened? Because I went outside, had a cigarette, sat down for just a sec, went back in, and they jumped like 15 numbers and passed mine. I was pissed. But the line to get a number now was like a 45-minute wait all of a sudden. And I was like, oh, to hell with this. And then, of course, comes the day where I got to go out of town. Sweating bullets, I drove to Carson City. That's like an hour from here. And went to their DMV, in and out, 45 minutes. I was like, oh, dude, I'm so doing that every time I got to go to the DMV, man. I'll tell you what. But, you know, that has absolutely nothing to do with gaming or the show. I'm sorry. But, We went over the bandwidth limit last month, which was interesting, too. That's never happened before.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we only had 3 episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I know that the one before that, like the month before that, the last one fell on like the 28th, so there were still a lot of people downloading, you know, the one, whatever it was, the first one, so it counted towards this month. But that was kind of cool for us.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, wow, that was a lot of people. We've been getting a lot of new listeners lately, and it's great.
Costly, but cool.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm working on that. Now, the solutions that we've kind of come up with were we could lower the quality of the show again. Which, honest to God, doesn't seem to make much of a difference. It still sounds like crap. I don't like the way it comes out. It doesn't sound as good as it should, I don't think. And it's going to be interesting to hear it recorded on your box with the Hollywood's fucking air machine turned off over here. Because I can't even hear the fans in your computer.
Right. And you won't have to do the whole
noise removal thing. Right. Yeah, hopefully anyway. Yeah, so it might come out a whole lot clearer, which would be great. And you know what else might be kind of neat is music in the background, which I've been kind of working on. But as of right now, I can't record anything anyway. Mm-hmm. Which kind of blows, but yeah, the other solution we had for that might have been BitTorrent.
Which seems to be the better of the two.
I think so, too. I don't know anything about setting up a tracker yet, and I actually have friends that have done it, so I'm going to have to get in touch with them and bother them a little bit and see what I can't figure out.
If anybody knows a whole lot about setting up trackers, go ahead and send us an email.
We're going to get an email to a link to a FAQ. That's what it's going to be, so you'll read this. And hey, that's great, because that's what I need to do. And I plan on playing with it in the next week or two anyway, because I've got this other machine here that I've got to do some stuff with, and I was thinking that thing could host a tracker. I just don't know how much bandwidth something like that consumes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, that's something to consider also. I really don't know where else to go with this as far as bandwidth goes. I can harass the host and convince them they need to give me more room for more transfer for free, but that only works about once a year. And it does work, too, I assure you. You know, and if we added music to that the whole show, though, that would increase the size of the files a lot, though.
By quite a bit.
Yeah, I know. But it probably would make it a whole lot less boring to listen in to us for the whole hour and a half. I don't know what I would play, though. I'll tell you what I would play now, though. We don't talk about... We call ourselves, and this is great, because nobody can figure this out, it's Games and More Entertainment Radio. Now, that spells G-A-M-E-R. And we do talk about movies an awful lot, you know, well, and then there's, like, stretches of, like, nothing but games.
Right.
And we were looking around today, and honest to God, in the last 2 weeks, there hasn't been a whole lot of great news. There's been some interesting things. Like, there was one of the kids from Columbine posted a blog.
Right, you right. Know,
but the article wasn't very good. Like, did you read that?
I read the little blurb about it.
Right, that was, you know, that was better off than reading the whole thing. You know, like, I read it, and it was all right, but the guy didn't get, like, all super in-depth or anything. He just kind of, you know, reiterated everything that everybody had already thought.
Well, he's just some kid just giving his...
Yeah, well, he's 25 now, so... Well... Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty interesting, you know, and he brought up a good point or two, but, like, I don't know, it seemed like he set it up for so much more, and it just kind of, it didn't deliver. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, we're not going to talk about that, and we wound up, like, just burning through news stories, just like, this is crap, this is crap, this is crap, useless. What about games? We planned on talking about Conker and that, I can't even pronounce that, Alterior Iris or whatever it is, or Isis right. or some shit, whatever
Alter
it is.
Alterisis, I think it was. Or is there an I in there?
There's an E, I think, somewhere right in the beginning that screws me up. Whatever the heck it is, we scrapped that. I mean, it was just fell apart today. You know, we wanted to talk. I really wanted to talk about Conker because I told somebody we were going to talk about Conker, and that didn't happen either.
When more news is out, we need to talk about that Wolf game some more.
Wolf game?
It started with a K. And it was that Japanese painting type. Yeah,
definitely.
That looked really cool.
When we get closer to release of that, when we know more, that's definitely going to come up. Definitely. So instead, we actually have a whole lot of movies, which is like, oh no, I can just hear it now. Oh my God, C4 is terrible.
I am damn shocked at the amount of video game movies that are coming out.
It's amazing. I mean,
we've had like maybe 10 in the history of moviedom.
Yeah, huh.
And now all of a sudden, they're just blowing up.
I mean, we're looking at like 10 right now, like in our hands almost.
It's like being a geek is becoming popular.
Which, that's no good.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I like being trendy.
You know, yeah, this goes against everything I think we stand for. You know, it's just like, I've never been in the in crowd. I mean, by accident or on purpose. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and I care enough that I don't want to be in it, though, I think. But I don't want to be like the outcast weirdo people either. I do my own thing and do what I think I like to do and whatnot. But if all of a sudden it's like this thing and they're, no, man, I don't see that being okay.
On the flip side, if some actually good video game movies come out, that's a good thing.
I was sure you were going to say on the flip side, if all the hot chicks in the world decide to start really digging on the geeks.
Well, that too. That's
what that TV show is for, Beauty and the Geek.
No.
I'm telling you, this show is hilarious. I'm sure it's not on TV all over the world. I'm pretty sure it's just like a U.S. thing. But Jesus Christ, this show is so damn funny.
Yeah, I refuse to watch it. I will not do reality TV.
I can respect that because it's reality TV. You know, because I'll keep an eye out for, you know, season one, episode one of TV shows. I like to see what's coming up, you know, just to kind of keep informed, you know. And I've been told I need to stay more on top of pop culture, you know, and TV is our pop culture these days. So I try to pay attention. And all the time I find out these new shows and everything are reality shows. And this one, I didn't know. Sat down, started watching it, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, a reality show. But then, next thing I know, I found myself laughing, like, all sin when these people were talking, you know? It was...
The only saving grace that I've seen from that show, because I have seen little clips, C4 put together a little highlight reel from the first episode, and the host has this has this face that's just saying to the world, what have I done with my life? I need to go home.
I don't know. It's just the look on his face sometimes is just like, you are so fucking stupid. That I swear to God, some of the answers that they give, and it's just like the answer's so obvious, you know? I don't know. I think it's a riot to watch this show. But getting off topic again, we need to stay a little bit more focused here. Because we're trying out our whole new layout.
The format?
The format. The format of the show. It's only taken us 91 episodes to try a real solid format. But we had this whole introduction, which I blew over anyway. The site is hwhq.com. The email address is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And it is not, like I'm sure a lot of people are doing, it's not gamer radio. That right. R is radio. And I see it written like that all over the place. And I don't know, maybe it just kind of bugs me because I try to make it obvious, you know, but it doesn't ever work out. Everybody puts an extra R in there, and I don't know, it's just my own little nitpicking about stuff. But anyway.
If you wanted to say it, it's game radio.
Yeah, yeah, it ends up being more like that, exactly. Or, yeah. Anyhow, we you know, there was a bunch of emails too, and only one that was like, I actually could read on the show, because the rest of them were just like questions and random stuff that wasn't like show material. But this one's fantastic, and this is great, because I put my foot in my mouth here, which I'm prone to doing, have you ever listened to the show? But this one's great, because this wasn't a complete flub by me, but this was something that I said that was just, you know, shoved right back in my face by Uncle Toxie here. And it says, hey, C4, this just in from the Be Careful What You Wish For hotline. When you were talking about all the comic book movies, you mentioned something about movies based on obscure characters. Well, it is my pleasure to give you, in all of its direct-to-DVD glory, Man Thing. And then he gives the link to the IMDb. You can go to imdb.com. This is the internet movie database thing, which I'm sure everybody knows about, because it's fantastic for looking up information on actors and even TV shows and stuff. You can, like, click an actor, and because I'm so not in touch with who's in what, I can click, you know, I remember a movie somebody's in, right. And I find his picture, and I click the picture, and I can get a list of what he was in. It's great for people like me. And this is, I'm going to be checking this one out in the next few days. If you're interested, I will write up a review for you. Absolutely. This would be great.
We always like that.
Yeah, definitely. And because particularly thrashing bad shit is great. Like, just tearing stuff up is funny when it really deserves it. I got a little things about Man Thing here. IMDb average score 4 out of 10. It's an action, horror, sci-fi category. It's an old Marvel comic, right? I guess this is some old character that didn't do too well, and they decided to make a movie about
with
it.
With the name Man Thing. I mean, that's originality as its finest right there.
Isn't there even a Swamp Thing movie?
Wasn't that a comic book,
or maybe it was a comic book after it was like a TV show or something?
Maybe.
Yeah, that seems kind of old, though. But anyway, here, check the plot of this movie out, okay? Agents. Wait, I wish I had like the movie guy voice, though. Like
that one dude that does all the the trailers.
Coming this summer. The movie event of the year. Yeehaw! That trailer for Dukes of Hazzard still blows my mind. It's
oh,
so funny.
No,
but I saw the trailer in the theater, and now here's the shit part. Oh, I'm so glad I remembered to mention this. I saw the trailer for Dukes of Hazzard in the theater, mm-hmm. And I was surrounded by people that were, like, kind of giggling and laughing and getting into it, though. And it seemed okay all of a sudden. I was like, I have to see this now. This is fantastic. And remember we tore up Stealth, the movie with the plane that gets shocked by lightning?
Stealth. I said, eh.
Right. Yeah, okay. And you know, when I watched the trailer, like, whatever, it was different from the one that I saw, though, like, right. Online. The one in the theater was different, and it showed a whole lot of good, well, somewhat pretty good, like, action.
Right.
Like, dog fights and stuff, and, like, flying through, like, caverns and stuff. Like, really, like, crazy stuff. And, you know, it's not looking so bad anymore. So, we'll see.
It definitely looks unoriginal. It's the AI comes to life and tries to take over the world sort of thing.
On a multi-billion dollar government airplane, right. Yeah, super killer thing.
Certainly not original, but I think it looks like it could be okay.
It very well may be now. I don't know. It we'll see. Because I do plan on watching it now. But listen to the plot of Man-Thing. Check this out. Agents of an oil tycoon vanish while exploring a swamp marked for drilling. The local sheriff investigates and faces a Seminole legend come to life. Man-Thing, a shambling swamp monster whose touch burns those who feel fear.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Look for that one at your local Blockbuster.
Or don't, you know.
Yeah. I think you could probably safely skip that one. I don't even think it had any, like, super name brand people in it or anything, you know. But,
I should hope not.
I should, yeah. Jesus God. Your career's done. I'm sorry, Mr. Pitt. We need a toilet flush sound too. We need tire squeaking.
Wacky DJs.
Wait, I have a toilet flush sound. Yeah.
We'd have to start talking like this.
That would be fantastic. You know what it creeps me out? Yeah. It's creeping me out in here that it's so quiet.
Oh, because without the fan?
Yeah, it's never been this quiet in here before. This is really
not for
weird.
More than a couple seconds.
Yeah, when the machine shuts down to reboot or I throw in a new hardware, yeah. But as far as news goes, we seriously have one story, right? And it's not even quite a story, it's just something to know about the PlayStation 3. The PlayStation 3, it's going to sell for $399, apparently. That's the big thing right now. Mm-hmm. They're going to charge $400 is what they're saying. But it's going to cost Sony $494 to make this thing.
You know, I'm honestly not sure what I think about this.
This has always happened. Everybody, I think, but Nintendo has lost money on hardware. Nintendo's made money, but I think Everybody else loses money on hardware.
On one side, you have, this is kind of cool. We're getting a real deal here.
Yeah.
That we're getting hardware that is better than what they physically pay to make the thing.
Yeah.
On the flip side of this, though, this means that any smaller company that wants to come into the business is straight up fucked.
Yeah.
Sony and Microsoft are juggernauts, and they can afford to lose money on the hardware because they're going to make it back in the software.
But it would be next to impossible to see another company step in on this.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't imagine somebody that has enough money to throw, that kind of money away. Really.
Just to hope.
On a gamble.
That their software sales are going to make up the difference.
Sega. They need to come back and save us all. That's what needs to happen.
So I'm torn here because on one side, I like the idea that, okay, I can buy this for less than it even costs to make. And that's cool. But, because I don't want to pay $500 for a console.
Me neither. And I don't even want to pay $400. I really don't. $300 is such a sweet point, you know? $400, my brain works like, oh my god, that's close to half of a grand,
Right.
At least when you're looking at $300, you're thinking, well, that's pretty far away. It's more than a third over still, a third away. So, two-thirds away. So, hey, that's not too bad. But God, now we're getting to $400, and I guarantee in 5 years we'll be closer to $500, or 4 years.
On the flip side of that, though, I mean, the PS3 and the Xbox 360 are full-on computers. Now, you can't do all the things that you can on a computer.
Well, with the PS3, you might be able to with the PS3 Linux.
Right.
Which I'm still convinced is going to be nothing.
But they're still hardware-wise the same as this box right here.
Right.
Even
right.
Better.
Yeah. We will not be able to even buy crap like this for our computer when this
like
thing comes out.
$1,200 if we wanted to pay for having a monitor hooked up to it.
Yeah. It'd be ridiculous.
So, we're getting hardware for ridiculously cheap here.
That is all right. And the Xbox, I'm sure they're going to put out their numbers soon, too. But I don't think they've announced how much it's actually going to be yet, though. I don't think so. I expect it to be $400, but I really thought that they would drop it at like $360. Just because,
Right. Especially because PlayStation, Sony has already announced this. It's not going to be more than $400.
Okay.
I can almost guarantee that.
Yeah. They wouldn't change. Well, I don't know. They sure make up a whole bunch of other crap. Tell us one thing and then it turns out to be something completely different.
True.
Sony's pretty good about that, especially fudging numbers.
But the Xbox comes out first.
Oh, right. That's true.
Plus, so we don't have that. Hey, they lied. It's more than that. We won't have that when the Xbox 360 comes out.
Plus, when this thing actually ships, it may be a little bit cheaper. Technology's going to get a little bit easier to make for them. So they might end up, saving, it might only cost them like $480 to make by the time it comes out or whatever.
That doesn't mean they're going to make it less to buy.
Yeah, you're that, right. That That'll never happen.
That just makes it closer to what they're going to lose, less than what they're going to lose.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, we did have one other piece of news. You brought up Nintendo earlier. I didn't write it down. It didn't make the notes because I forgot.
Right. The Nintendo has said in press conferences and whatnot that they are flat out not going to do the technical race with Sony and Xbox. And I don't blame them. I mean,
this is a hard one.
Yeah, because Xbox and PlayStation, I don't know if the PlayStation 2 did, but I know the Xbox One lost money too.
Mm-hmm.
And Nintendo can't really afford to do that. I don't think.
Now, I don't think they can afford to lose that much either. There's no way. They haven't been doing very good for quite some time now.
I mean, the Game Boy has been really their saving grace as far as a financial company is concerned.
Right.
And I just don't see them being able to win that race because they can't go toe-to-toe financially with Sony and Microsoft.
And what else? The article said specifically something like something about looking for, like, the home user looking for, like, a budget thing. Like, right. not quite budget, but just not a super ridiculous expensive item.
The very short article led me to believe that Nintendo is going to try to sell maybe for $300,
mm-hmm.
while the competition is selling for $4.
Okay. Well, that might really play in their favor then, you know. But I don't know if they can keep it up, because if Nintendo has this reputation of their new console already sucking out the gate, I don't know if any price point's going to matter at all. You know, like, when I say sucking, I mean, like, your mom and your dad, and you're thinking, what am I going to buy little Johnny for Christmas here, you know? And you're looking over, you know, like, the magazines, and you're saying, you know, well, you're probably not, but you're probably looking at something that breaks down the technical specs of it. If you're dad, you are, I'm sure. And you're like, well, Jesus, this thing is way more powerful than the Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nintendo, you know, nobody does that anymore. That was way back when I was a kid. You know, we do PlayStation now. This is what it is. You know, it just, they swept them out of the way, and I think they're going to wind up going with either the Xbox or a PS3.
On the flip side, I'm pretty sure that Japan is still a pretty solid market for all things Nintendo. And they still do okay, and the Japanese market is probably even bigger than ours is.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly not any smaller.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And Microsoft has one hell of a time in Japan. Yeah. They can't sell a console to save their life over there.
Yeah, they get their asses kicked over there. And it's gonna be really interesting to see what happens, though, this time around. They're in it to win it. They really are, you know? I mean, I can't wait to see how much they're gonna lose on this thing. You know, when Microsoft finally comes out and says, this thing costs us this much to make, we're selling it to you for that. I saw those numbers for the Xbox One all over the place. Microsoft walked around with that number like a banner of achievement. Look how much we lost, you know?
I would too.
Well, yeah,
that's
a huge number. You better use it for something. Advertising.
If I'm a console company and I am already doing that, selling it for less, I'm going to say, hey, look, we love you guys so much that we're not going to even charge you what it costs us to make. We are charging you less.
Yeah, yeah. So come buy it now.
Right.
Now, we saw a game that I remember hearing about a long time ago. Like, a long time ago. I want to say, like, 2 E3s ago. Destroy All Humans. This finally made its way around, it looks like.
I've heard a lot of conflicting things. Someone in IRC has been playing it, although I can't remember who off the top of my head. And they said they were really enjoying it. To me, this looks like a really bad GTA clone.
I think it did, too.
It gets points for originality and being different.
Yeah, it's nice to run around as aliens instead of a gangster, you know?
Yeah,
it did look like, well, isn't there a Simpsons game like that, too? Not Hit and Run, but the one after that. Isn't there
there's
a Simpsons
one
game?
Since Hit and Run?
There's a Simpsons, not The Sims, Simpsons.
Right, right.
And it's called Hit and Run. It's kind of like, was that the one I'm thinking of then?
That's the newest one I can think of, and that...
Didn't they have one that was a lot like GTA, though?
That's Hit and Run.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, then, I don't know. It's like, I hate to say it like GTA, as opposed to just, like, a platformer that's a little bit more open.
Persistent world, you know, platformer like type of deal.
Yeah, it's non-linear type of, you know, like a just open platformer, I guess. It looks like one of those kind of games, and you just walk around. It had a good plot, though, or, like, the story.
It had a great plot, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you always get all these stories in these games where the aliens are trying to take over the world, and generally they're just bent on world domination.
Because they're aliens.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, even Hitler wasn't really bent on world domination. He was trying to make a better world for his people.
Right, he had a reason.
I mean, yeah, it just, it was more than just, haha, I want to take over the world.
Exactly.
And so these aliens, they are basically immortal because they use generic DNA from other sources to, like, patch themselves up. Okay. And they ran out. So now they go to this planet, and in order to keep their immortality, which we have found in the past, the people who think they're going to become immortal will do some pretty crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're basically farming DNA.
That's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know, when you told me that, I was like, wow, it sounds interesting. Unfortunately, we watched some gameplay of it, looked at some reviews, and it was just like, ah.
It doesn't look like it's a bad game.
It looks like it has camera issues, though.
Yeah, I would personally be a little iffy on the camera in the saucer. Because it's like a top-down.
Oh, yeah, no, there's levels where you walk around as just your little alien dude and do, like, these weird missions.
Right.
Then you can even fly a little flying saucer, which seems a little janky on the controls, too. Like, I don't know, it just seems a little strange.
I think this looks like a better-than-mediocre game.
Yeah.
But nothing special. If you really dig on wacky stuff, it's basically 1950s-style alien take-over-the-world sort of thing. It reminds me an awful lot of Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks, exactly, which I was going to bring up because I cannot stand that movie. Like, seriously, on my list of bad movies, Mars Attacks is fighting Batman and Robin for the number one spot.
No.
That movie was horrid.
It's supposed to be horrid, though. That was, like, the whole point.
I don't care if it's supposed to suck. It sucked. That's like saying, hey, we released this game that sucks, but buy it anyway, because we're telling you that it sucks.
Right.
Ahead of time.
I understand that, but it's not so much that it sucks, it's just that it's corny beyond belief.
It's bad. God.
Now, I did not enjoy Mars Attacks. You will never find it in my library by any stretch.
Right.
But at the same time, it had its charms, I think.
I'm shaking my head.
So that's basically it. I mean, you run around. Apparently it's plagued by the missions being kind of wonky and nothing special, and run around and do this, take this action on so many things and so much time, and very normal stuff compared to what the setting is.
Right. They could have done some really, really cool stuff using an alien setting, though. I mean, what if they had you, like, break into, like, a secret lab or something? Like, because you have, like, some kind of a shape-changer thing, too, don't
right,
you?
Right,
and you could, like, make yourself look like, you know, Mulder and go cruise over to, like, you know, wherever, at some government building. And what if you had to, like, break in and, like, break out the dude from Roswell, you know, your buddy? Mm-hmm. Steve! We've missed you, brother.
They do have stuff that's similar to that.
And he's sitting there all chopped up and spread open. Bob! Get me the fuck out of here.
Give me some DNA tonic.
Yeah. You know, like, they could have made it really cool, I think, like that.
They do have some stuff like that, like, you have to watch the president. And you have to stalk the president, and you're in that holographic thing.
Okay.
But it basically boiled down to you walking around as this hologram.
Do you have to collect cowlips?
Something like that, actually. There's mini games where you have to kill so many cows.
Is there really?
Or something. Yeah.
That's great. All right, well, this game's shaping up then. If it's got some pretty decent things to it, you know.
It looks like if you're really into the whole 1950s alien culture, I would say this is even maybe a must-buy.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I guess I can see that if you're into that. I'm going to have to look for a demo or something for this, or maybe I'll rent it or something and check it out one day just to see. Who knows?
Yeah, I haven't played it, but I think...
Now, this is our preview section that we're working on.
Right, right.
This is the stuff that, you know, is either just coming out or just came out, you know, or is in the future that we like to talk about ahead of time, you know.
And we don't really know all that much.
Yeah, but, you know, we just, like, there's a lot of stuff I wanted to bring up, though. Like, even that, I saw that there was called, like, Dragon something, a new Lunar. A new Lunar
right,
game.
Right.
Lunar is so awesome.
Now, was that just for the DS, or is it also
on the DS? I believe that was
DS.
Just for the DS, yeah, yeah. But it looked pretty good, you know, but again, we just, I don't know, next week.
I think the DS has a lot of potential for such RPGs.
I think so,
where
too.
You can have, like, the map
the
screen.
Map,
and
dude. Your inventory and all that crap.
Yeah.
That is cool. That
the
is
menu
really cool.
system, all this yeah. other stuff, and then the battlefield is yeah. always on. And
that would be yeah, that would be cool if they do it right. You know, plus you could have like longer like anime cutscenes and shit or whatever, and you could have some pretty neat kind of stuff. So I don't know. It looked good. I mean, there was quite a few games. There was not quite a few, but there was a handful of games we really wanted to talk about this show, and we ended up having more fun looking at the movies this week for some reason. And so I mean, this is a really unusual episode for us. Not only is it going to probably be clear because we're recording on Kopar's box, but because we have an awful lot of movies to talk about. I mean, basically, beyond our little preview of Destroy All Humans, I broke down. This would be the review section we're moving to now, right?
this is a sad day.
We need music. We need, like, little music cutscenes.
And this music cutscene should be, like, very somber and sad. And
yeah, it should.
I'm ashamed.
I'm a little disappointed in myself, and what happened was this. I was playing a lot of Battlefield 2 demo. A lot. And it came out, and I fought the power for a couple days. Because I was like, I don't know, I'm having a lot of fun. I don't know if it's purchase material, though. But I found myself playing it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I come out of my EverQuest 2 coma, you know, to this lonely, cold world of crappy games. And all I have is this Battlefield demo. You know, and I know the first one did really good. Now we've got this Battlefield 2, so I checked the demo out, which we talked about, you know, I think last show or the show before that, and I could not say enough good about it.
Plus, it's not World War II.
You know, yeah, exactly, right? We're talking about, I think we actually didn't mention that, I think.
Right,
I think
right.
we forgot to mention that, but it's actually like modern day, so it's fat. You know, and anyway, I'm sitting here, and I talked to my, I don't have the money for something like this, but I had a dream that I was playing, and that's what sealed the deal. I woke up fully convinced that I'd play Battlefield all night long. And then I crawled to work and was just like, you know, I'm gonna have to do this. Now the good news is it comes out on CD and on DVD. Yes. EA, you get points for that. Now I proudly display the DVD version here in my home.
That's right.
Right, and it comes in a really nice case, too. They're both the same size, too.
I dig the new DVD cases. You got this nice...
They're like double
hard
thickness.
Hard case. It's not this stupid... The stupid box.
You know, yeah, I'm not so sure about that either, but this is slick here.
Blizzard. Okay, I want to bring in World of Warcraft just real quick.
We're going to get back to World of Warcraft at some point. Look down on the notes a little bit.
But I just want to point out when we're talking about cases. So I crack open the box, and it's the cardboard thing, which I don't really dig. I really dig on those new...
Like
the hard DVD cases.
DVD
yeah.
case.
Those
yeah.
are nice. Those are collectible. You can set that
yeah,
in a rack.
Exactly.
And
it's not going to get all worn.
I open it up, and the damn discs are in sleeves.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell?
That sucks.
What that's... the hell? Okay, that's all.
Hey, man, the EverQuest 2 packaging was good, though. I remember that. They had them in the little trays. It folded
right.
out, had all that nice shit, so...
I don't even dig on that all that much, but
you
it's
know,
certainly
I'm not a big fan of that either.
It's certainly better than the individual
yeah.
flimsy sleeves.
Didn't Baldur's Gate come like that? Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, weren't they in individual sleeves like that?
They might have been.
I'm pretty sure they were. Mine is, and I have the collector's edition of the second one.
I don't dig on
I'm
that
I'm pretty
at
sure
all.
It's like that. No, it is in a little case.
Yeah.
It is in like a little CD
mine
case,
is. My Baldur's Gate 2 is in a jewel case.
Yeah, you know what? My Baldur's Gate 2 is, but my Baldur's Gate 1 is in sleeves. But it might have been the ghetto version that I bought, you know, like the gold old one or something like after
right.
it was out for a long time. Yeah, and I'd already played it and liked it. And
but the whole flip out thing is certainly better than the sleeves.
Yeah.
I don't dig on that
yeah,
at all.
Me neither. That is pretty lame. But the DVD version of Battlefield 2 is out there, which is really cool because it installs really quick. You only got one disc instead of like three to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, that installer, I'll tell you what, okay. Now that I've played the retail for quite some time now, and I still suck, but I still have a blast. It's that much fun that I suck at it, and I have so much fun. Now that I've played like the retail of it, and everything I said before stands in the demo. Okay, there's just a few things now that I've noticed that are either different or changed, or I didn't get a chance to experience. You do have a third army. You have China
mm-hmm.
in this too, so you have three people now. And I don't like playing the United States. I don't like it because I don't like their guns.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot differently, and I don't like them. So I always try to play China or the Middle Eastern coalition guys. I like playing those two, and I like their guns better, is why. You have, like, unlockable guns. We talked about that. They have ranked and unranked servers, though. So when you're out there looking, there's a filter to play on ranked servers only. So it tracks your stats, which is nice
right.
when you suck like me and you look at somebody else's stats and you're, like, embarrassed. You're like, oh, God, I've played for just as long as this guy and my stats are half.
I cannot understand why anyone, any game company, who is doing this sort of online play would not have that.
Yeah, I know. It's a really great idea. I mean, I think it's fantastic.
It's something. It's that one extra little thing that says buy our game.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can show people that you're badass. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you look on our forums, actually, Jeff Mann's got a. Jeff Mann. He has like a little. His signature is his Battlefield 2 stats, and it updates on whatever site it goes out to, and it keeps real stats of his.
Wow.
So I looked at mine just to check it out. We've played to the minute almost at the same time. It was 1 minute difference, mm-hmm. and my stats are like half of his. And I'm like, ah, oh, Jesus, I suck. But I have fun, because I always do dumb shit like this. Like, see, this is the great thing about this game. You know, you're looking at what is basically a standard first-person shooter type game and on the surface.
Right.
You know, you look at it from afar away, and you think, oh, this is just running around blowing people up. When you actually sit down and play it, you can get really involved in anything you want to do. It's like GTA with structure and multiplayer all of a sudden. It's fantastic because most of the time, I don't like just walking around because the maps are huge. And I don't like walking around and just getting sniped by some random guy, which is why my points are so low. Because I do it so often because I try to do little missions for myself. So like a map will come up and I'll tell myself, I'm going special forces and I'm making sure their radar stays down the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of fun just kind of screwing around. You know, I'm still killing people. I'm helping the team. But I'm having a blast just doing what I set up for myself, like a little mission for me. You know, I'm going to make sure that their commander's completely incapacitated. I actually got to play commander one time, finally. I got on a server where my team was so bad. We didn't have a commander. Nobody was in groups. Nothing. Nobody was in squads, right? The other team whooping our ass left and right. And I was like, oh, to hell with it. I'll try the commander position because nobody else wants to. We all suck. It was somehow all the bad people got put on the same team. So I was like, okay, cool. I applied for commander. Nobody else wanted to do it, so bam, you've been assigned commander. So I'm checking it out. And now at first I was like, boy, this is really ghetto because it's like this really cheap, like it looks like a low quality, like 256 color screen, yeah. You know, and it's got like four bars or something where you can send like your little unmanned recon aircraft into like a certain area. So it helps your troops see areas on the map because you have this plane flying over.
Right.
Then you have like a radar scan which shows you like the whole map, but it sweeps the map.
Right.
So like
you get like a second out of so many seconds of where everybody is.
Exactly.
An updated little thing.
Yeah. So like you have to remember. So it is actually fun to play though, right? You can drop supplies and it's the same idea. You click supplies, you click where you want it to drop. Now you have to wait X amount of seconds before you can do that again.
Mm.
Okay, and you have like a little timer, right? And it just kind of moves along the bar, and when it fills up, you can click the button again and drop more supplies. Same thing with all the other things that you can do. Same for artillery. But the cool thing is that all these things that your commander can do are tied to real things on the battlefield, right?
Mm.
So for me to do, or for the commander to do the radar sweep, you have to have your radar thing working, right?
Right.
To drop your supplies, there's some for it too, and the artillery, there's the artillery guns there that you can blow up and all. I mean, if that's down, he cannot artillery anymore. You know, it's really cool. So I'm getting used to it. I'm playing with it. I don't like the chat for it so much. It's like they made it hella fucking small, and you can't read what everybody's saying if it's blowing by hella fast.
Most people should be using the headset.
They should be, but they don't. And I know where they screwed up. Unlike SOCOM, you didn't get the headset when you buy the game.
You did only if you pre-ordered.
Right, right. And not enough people pre-ordered. They should have packaged, I think, the headset with the game, and it would have been way different, because I barely see people using VoIP on this. I really don't see it that often. And it's kind of sad.
Which is a shame.
It is.
Because
it really
that was
sad.
If that was just the absolute standard, and you had the commander, and he was talking to all the squad chiefs, and the squad chiefs were doing the whole thing to their troops, I'd have to really consider this,
yeah,
because that's just
yeah, but
really
unfortunately it's
sweet.
Not that way, and it should be. It really should be set up that sweet, and unfortunately, because not everybody has a microphone, they didn't do it. I think they should have just said, cut their losses, given everybody a $5 microphone. That don't cost
when you have just a nice, regular, cheap one, not even what you have. I mean,
this
yours
one's
is
like
pretty,
a pretty nice $30
pretty nice one.
Deal.
But even that cost them $5 to make.
Right, exactly.
And if you're EA and you're buying hundreds of thousands
they're
of these
cut
at once,
you a deal.
They're going to cut you a pretty good deal, and you're going to be charged like $2.50
yeah.
for each one.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's not going to do a whole lot to your
bottom line.
Right.
That's good.
Some, but it'll also make your game
that much better.
Way much
it will.
Better.
It
that,
really
it,
will.
It
because
will do a lot.
You would be surprised how many people don't have microphones and headsets out there. You know, Cobar doesn't. All right.
I need to, and I want to. I just don't play enough games where it's really all that important.
Right. Well, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, well, if I ever go into raiding
right,
and whatnot,
right.
I would.
Yeah. Mr. Solo. But what else do you have? You have not, see, then you have like an overhead map right? You have, like, the full map on your screen. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this map, and I'm like, wow, that's really cheeseball. It's just like the little map that you're looking at when you're a troop. This is ghetto. Then I discovered you can click on it, and it zooms in so good. Like, there's, like, three levels of zoom. And when you're on, like, the highest level of zoom, you're looking at, like, full rendered overhead view. Like, so, like, as little... my character, you know, or whoever's character's walking around, I can follow his ass and watch what he's doing. And there was, I did play on a server one time where the commander was, like, bored with everybody on the map or something. Like, he was just, like, I just hopped on and everybody else had been there for a while. So I hop on and I was on my little, I'm going to be a special forces kick, right? I'm going to swim to the boat. I'm going to swim out to the damn aircraft. I'm not taking a boat. I'll be seen. I'm special forces, man. I'm a damn Navy SEAL, right? Like, I get all into it. I think I really do.
So well, that's the best way to play something.
I think so, too, because I have more fun that way. Who cares if I keep getting killed? I have a blast.
Yeah.
So I get out there, and I'm blowing up everything, and the commander is just loving it, because he's watching me do it, and he's talking to you, you know, now, like, from his high chair up on high, you know, with you know, Jesus on his left, and the other guy on, you know, the other commander on his right, and he's like, dude, that's so awesome. He's like, good job. And the problem is, you only can carry so many packets of C4 to blow this stuff up when you're special forces, which you can't take the whole thing out. So the guy was just like, dude, tell me where you want your supplies, buddy. And he's dropping supplies on me so that I can recharge my shit and run back out there, and it heals you. It gives you all your, you know, your weapons back and stuff. God, that was so much fun. And because you had a commander that was paying attention, and he loved watching me. He was, like, following me running around the map. It was great, you know? But it really does look that good, too. Like, you're watching overhead. You're watching cars crashing into each other. You're watching planes, dogfighting, and everything, you know?
With the, since it's current day, with the current, satellite technology that I'm sure our government has.
Oh, yeah.
Heck, we can use Google.
Yeah.
And not get real-time stuff, but we can get real close pictures and stuff. So, you know, the if there's a full-on battle going on, you got the government and your commander and whatnot has command of those satellites to go in. And so I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do...
I've seen a picture. It's floating around online. If you look around, there's a picture of Ground Zero from 9/11. From a satellite photo that's like 16 megs or something. And it's so detailed. You can see like people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is super detailed. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's a huge picture, great resolution and everything, you know. But this is how you feel like you're looking at the battlefield when you're playing this game. And they made playing Commander pretty fun. The interface to the Commander setup, I think, could use a little work. It really does look a little like we just slapped this together, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, one of the things that I've been hearing about is that people are saying it crashes a lot on them.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Right? Now, here's the experience I've had with the crashing. The demo did not crash one time.
No, I didn't have it either.
I don't remember that crashing at all. I played the crap out of it. But the retail, okay, I've never had it crash once I'm in. What ends up happening is I fire the game up, and you get to the thing where, like, you know, you log in, which, oddly enough, takes, like, a good 4 or 5 seconds before you can actually click log in. Like, it's there, it says, click me to log in, and you're like, click, click. Click, 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 click. Finally, it lets you in. And it's annoying. That's just annoying. But why is it like that? Then it takes you to the crappiest server browser interface I've ever seen in my life.
It's no better in the retail version?
No, it's the same. It is terrible.
Oh, my God.
Absolute shit. It's slow. It doesn't sort the damn servers correctly.
And not the way it should.
No, it is the most jacked up interface I've ever seen in my life.
Because they wanted you to use GameSpy.
You know, well, games, I'm operating non-installing my crap on my computer. There's no way. So, you know, the interface really is where this thing hurts. Not so much the interface. The interface is great for playing. It's the front end of it screwed up bad, though.
And the freaking loading on the menu.
That's still there in the retail. Oh, you hit escape, and you got to wait 5 seconds while you're getting shot at, you know, to load the menu, which sucks anyway. Now here's the deal for the crashing for me. I've actually had it throw me straight to the desktop, only on times where, let's see, you click join game, right? Like, if you can get the server you want on their janky interface, I mean, it's terrible. If you can finally click on the goddamn server, you click join game, it goes to the loading map screen, and it's kicked me straight to the desktop there like 2 or 3 times. No errors, no nothing, just bam, all of a sudden I'm looking at IRC and my desktop again, you know,
I'd almost rather have an error screen.
Something.
It's like, it like feels like you're at least this is what happened, even though you can't understand it. It's talking about dumping stacks at X dot.
And maybe you could look it up online. Maybe other people are having the same problem, because I remember Unreal Tournament had a big problem with certain crashing on certain things, and you could copy some of that out and paste it to Google, and bam.
And it goes right to the desktop. Problem. It's just like a big, fuck you!
Yeah, you're starting over. And that's not a fun game to start over, to have to go through and fight their interface again in the beginning. That's the only time I've had a crash, other than one time I was playing, I hit escape on accident, which pulled up the menu. I didn't realize I did, so I kept clicking like I was playing. Somehow I'd inadvertently clicked on a server, like the screen was there, but it wasn't, and I clicked because I thought I was shooting somebody, and bam, just hard locked up my machine, and there was nothing I could do. I could not get out. I had to reach over and pull the plug on it, you know, and that only happened once, so I don't know what the deal is, but their interface blows. But the game itself seems stable enough, you know, I mean, I've been playing the crap out of it, you know, and once you get there, it's all good. It really is, and it's such a fun experience, and this is great because I think it was really worth, I was thinking about this. I only ended up paying $42 for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's probably worth, I'd say, probably about $45. And after tax, it was $45 and some change for me. Right. And I felt pretty good about that I didn't have to pay $50 for it. Because it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. It's so close to, the most perfect multiplayer online game, at least for that type, anyway.
Right.
The interface just destroys it. But the game is fun.
Well, maybe that'll get patched.
So this is, I'm sure they'll try to fix it. So this is definitely somewhere in the $42 to $45 range. You know, I mean, we'll just cut it and say $43.50, right? It's a really, really good game. It really is.
I may even have to break down and buy it. I don't know.
I got some other people looking at it, too, that I didn't think played these kind of games. And they're just like, this game is awesome. They get all mad and aggravated when they're playing. That's how you know you're enjoying yourself. When you're screaming and throwing the... Oh, we had a conversation about this in the night. How you don't do that.
Never thrown a controller, never...
That's what we need. Send us emails about you breaking hardware because of a game, all right? That's what I want.
That'd be a nice little segment one time.
It would. Yeah. It would be great, because I've got some stories of my own. That would be fantastic, I think. Now, we've got videos to talk about today, lots and lots of video-related stuff. So before all that, I must say, if anybody's been to the front page of the site, nobody goes there. They just link straight to the damn show and download it. Hardly anybody goes to the site. But I have a habit of putting music in the bottom right-hand corner, just whatever it is that I listen to for the week. It happens to me. I get attached to one song or a band or whatever, and nothing I listen to but them for just a week or so. And I've been trying to keep up on changing this for the last couple weeks, mm-hmm. Maybe the last month, it's been a while. There's a band out there now that I stumbled across, some random website, where the hell I wound up, and it's all I've listened to for the last week, and I really wanted to say that these guys kick ass. And if you haven't checked out our site, at least, and seen the link to some of their sites... The band is called The Birthday Massacre, and they put out a video a couple weeks ago, I think, on, it's called Blue, and it's an old-style video, it reminded me of Tool, an old Tool video.
Very Toolish.
You know, but the music I thought was fantastic, so I started looking around and came up with some of their different sites, violetprison.com, violet the color,
mm-hmm.
And thebirthdaymassacre.com has the video for Blue, but I believe that's all that one really has there that you can get access to. Violet Prison's down for maintenance or something, and the one that actually works and has, forums and message boards and, you know, I mean, it gets ridiculous. I mean, there's people, apparently they're huge fans of these guys, and I've never heard of them before.
Mm.
And then they rocked my world when I listened to them. It's TBM, that's the Birthday Massacre, Chicago.com, TBMChicago.com. But I must say, that really made me a happy camper, and props to those guys. They're doing really good, I think. You know, they have, real CD releases, but you can download, the MP3s from their site. It's, $5 or something. That's really cool. You know, they're not, some big-name band. They're not Britney Spears being rolled around in limos and stuff. You know, there are a couple people that are trying to raise money to get bumper stickers together. But they have a lot of fans. Go to their forums. It's nuts, and I really like their sound. If anybody knows what kind of sound that is, let me know. I've been trying.
It is a little interesting.
It's awesome. It really is sweet. I love it a lot.
That Blue song, it really grows on you. At first, I was watching the video and listening to this the song, and I'm like, whoa, C4, what the hell is up with you?
I dig it. I've never heard anything quite like that.
By the end of the song, I'm like, hey, this is pretty good. Yeah.
If anybody knows anybody that sounds like that, too, let me know.
It's a little bit like hard rock Evanescence.
Maybe. But I see the word synth thrown around in there a lot. He's got a really creepy horror fantasy sound, if that's a sound. I don't know. Dude, have you looked at, the types of music that are out there? Synth pop and death goth. And I'm what the hell is all this? This isn't music? What happened to country and alternative and pop and rock? No, now it's, super subcategory. You know, it's weird. and I can't figure it out anymore. But I don't care. Does it sound good? Yeah. Who cares what the people look like, you know?
Right.
Music sounds good. Who cares what they classify themselves as?
Yeah, I see all those subgenres and little tiny things as just being too constrictive to the art.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Go into Winamp one time and look at the ID3 tag for your whatever track you're listening to and click on genre. Mm-hmm. And it's like this giant list that it could be. It's like 200 things. And I'm like, seriously, folks.
Yeah.
This is just getting a little ridiculous. Whatever happened to music just being music? How about TV being TV? Now, we have a little gripe that we want to start our TV adventures and our movie adventures out with here. We use a lot of websites, like I'm sure a lot of people do, to, you know, look up on movies and TV even, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two sites in particular that are incredibly popular. There's TVTome.com, there used to be, and there's the IMDb for movies, right? Which I'm sure everybody knows that one. Two fantastic resources for information.
Right. And TV Tome, I went there several times a day sometimes.
Me too.
When I was looking for something. And one day, we go there, and it directs you directly to TV.com. And this place is so screwed up. And Modem said it perfectly. It's like a corporation vomited all over this website. It's you can't use it.
That's my problem with it too. Now I'm sitting here and I tell people all day at work, you must be stupid. Look, this is how you install the software. This is how you click on a link on a website. And I'm just like, you people are dumb. Then I come home and I sit down in front of a website that I'm extremely familiar with. Just TV Tome was fantastic. There was no bullshit.
It was perfect.
It was the perfect website. So what happened? CNET bought it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
CNET buys TV Tome, puts it on their TV.com site, and I cannot figure out how to use this site now. It took like four tries of me trying to look stuff up to get what I want, and I still have problems finding stuff there.
It's, for instance, I decide one time relatively soon, because this has only been like, what, 2 weeks now that it's been like this, maybe a little longer?
Yeah.
I decide that I'm going to look up to see when Lost is coming back. And I go and I'm fiddling around with this thing. I finally find where Lost is because I don't know why, but I don't usually just search for in the little field. I actually go through all the little links and it takes forever to find this. And then I finally do, and I go to the news because I figure there'll be a little news article. It's been announced that Lost will come back on this day.
Mm-hmm.
There are six pages of like 20 news articles a piece, and every single one says that there's a new person coming to Lost.
Oh my god.
All referenced from a different place. And just the same headline over and over and over again.
But it used to not be like that.
Right. It used to be they'd have one guy that, okay, I like this show, I like this show, I like this show. I'm going to do everything I can to find everything I can about these shows, and I'm going to do this page.
One page.
Right.
It was in order by date, starting at the top, would be the newest stuff.
And all the format was exactly the same, but it was very concise. Anything you could ever want to possibly know about this site, about this show, was on that site.
All the same information is there. I just, to save my life, can't get to it.
Yeah, it's
it's,
and there's even more information.
Yeah, no, they added this bullet. I mean, talk about corporate, okay? You whatever show you're looking at, any fucking page, you've got a pie chart. You've got a little pie chart on the side of it. I don't even know what it is.
It shows how many people rated it as a superb show, as a good show, as a bad show.
I feel like I'm looking at like a PowerPoint presentation when I'm trying to make my way around this, like what once used to be like the ultimate mecca of information for TV.
You know what it feels like to me, and this is going to sound a little weird, but it feels like I'm at Disneyland when I'm in this site. It's just so over the top and way, I don't know.
It's like disorienting.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on here? I have issues with it.
It's way too busy.
There you go. I mean, they got shiny new graphics for it and everything, but like, it also takes 10 times as long to pull up the goddamn page. You used to be able to just type in wherever you were going, click, I want to look up The Simpsons. Bam. Ching. A bunch of text. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. A background color, maybe a frame or two, you know?
A little picture that was like the...
Fantastic. Now you've got all kinds of ridiculous stuff. I can't handle it. Now, IMDb, which catalogs everything in the world, you know, like movie and TV related. I mean, it's fantastic for stuff like this. They have now, and I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm worried. I'm worried because this happened to come up on the same day, an IMDb Pro site now, which you can sign up to, like, beta test or whatever for free, and I imagine you're going to have to, like, pay for it later, but I cannot imagine how I have this bad feeling it's going to wind up the same, you know? And I'm going to stick with the free one, you know, the one that looks all cheeseball but works perfectly fine and is fast. I'm a big believer in speed, so I don't know. If you're big on movies, though, you might want to go check that out, and you might be way into it, so we thought we would bring that up. Now, as far as movies that are on the horizon, we heard about some really awesome stuff that I think people should get kind of excited about. I, for one, am just dying to see and get any information, by the way, out of the new Alice movie. Mm-hmm. And this is Alice, like, creepy Alice, like, based on American McGee's Alice, like, the game.
Right, the actual book.
Right.
The book is infinitely more creepy and scary.
Not this happy Disney one that everybody knows, you know, the one that everybody believes, and it is Alice in Wonderland. So I think that's really cool, and the only thing, I'm probably going to screw this up, but I swear the only thing I could find was that Sarah Michelle Gellar is supposed to play as Alice, I guess.
Okay.
This is, yeah, so... I don't know. A lot of people are big fans.
That certainly is not a stretch.
So, no, yeah, no, that should be all right. That should totally be all right. But, like, if they do this movie right, and they don't, and I'm going to Willy Wonka it, I think they're going to do pretty good. I'm starting to lose, like, all faith for that movie. Like, the more I hear about it, the more I see, I'm just like, oh, my God. I don't know, Mr.
Go see the trailer, though.
Yeah, that trailer creeps me the hell out. Not in a good creepy.
It's not the creepy I thought it was
going to
be.
It's a Michael Jackson creepy.
Yeah, it's oh, man.
Yeah, it's... oh, man. Yeah, I don't know about that so much, but I'm really looking forward to Alice, and it's. I think it's good to see movies like that. And you know what it reminds me of? Go check out The Birthday Massacre. They have a bunch of cool Alice in Wonderland stuff, and if anybody really knows me, they know I'm a sucker for Alice in Wonderland stuff. I have, like, an Alice in Wonderland, like, Barbie doll. Honest to God, like, in the box still and everything. Like, I have to. I have all kinds of shit like that, like the collector's edition DVDs and stuff. That little house... I have a wind chime sitting in my house. Do you know what it says? It says Alice's Wonderland on it. There's a reason that is in this house. Not just some gay little house wind chime sitting
there. You know, I've actually never even noticed that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's been there since day one. But yeah, I love Alice in Wonderland stuff. I have all kinds of Alice in Wonderland stuff.
Specifically, the real Alice in Wonderland, the book and this probably and whatnot, is actually pretty cool. An American Alice. I didn't like the game so much, but the world and the environment and stuff was sweet.
Yeah, the game left definitely something to be desired, but it was still cool. It was still really cool, their ideas. Like, they're working on that Oz one now. Isn't he working on an Oz one? American McGee's Wizard of Oz or whatever? Or this just going to be called Oz, I think.
Maybe.
Right?
That's another one that's actually a lot creepier than the movie.
You know, there was a series of books written by somebody, too, and my sister was telling me about this, written from the perspective of the bad guy in these books. I mean, yeah, you know, like The Wicked Witch of the West or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Writes, she has, like, her view on
what I wonder if it's the same guy that did that
with
one
the girl
book.
In the tornado?
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz, right? It's, like, her perspective on it, and it's like a full-on book, but it sounds kind of cool.
I wonder if that was done by the same guy that did the Three Little Pigs that was from the perspective of the wolf.
Probably. It's that same idea, though. Yeah. So that sounds pretty cool. I don't know. My sister was all into it and telling me about it. It sounded really neat, so I'm dying to see an Alice in Wonderland one of it. That'd be cool. What else did we see? Pirates of the
Caribbean?
I don't know how to say that word. It looks strange when I look at it.
Well, I think
down.
It depends on who you are and
where you're
from.
Probably. Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Dead Man's Chest, and that's your boy, Mr. Depp.
That guy's
playing.
Awesome.
What's his name? Captain Jack Sparrow. Which it's funny because we were reading some kind of an interview with him or something, and he said he really likes the character, and I'm thinking to myself, this is coming from the guy who just played Willy Wonka. I bet you like this character.
Jack Sparrow is a pretty cool character.
Yeah,
that movie was
awesome.
Awesome,
it was. That movie was the first one was fantastic, and this new one sounds great. But here's an interesting little piece of information: they're also filming parts of number 3 while they're working on number 2, which kind of I don't know. It seems like oh man, they're totally gonna milk us for everything. But you know what? If it's a good movie, why not do it? Mm-hmm. You know, if people like it, it might not suck. You know, like, I wasn't a big fan of the second and third part of The Matrix, but you know what? A lot of people were, and it did okay. The first one was great. I still paid to see the other ones. You know, I'm sure I'll pay to see this.
Yeah, and I think this would be a little easier to live up to than The Matrix 1 was.
Yeah, I think so, too.
As big as the Pirates of the Caribbean was, it wasn't this phenomena crazy culture-altering thing
exactly, like the Matrix
that The Matrix was.
There's a Dungeon Siege movie coming out, too, where I actually had names a few of the people that are going to be in this, which I thought was cool. Dungeon Siege, this is based on a game, so...
I don't know about this at all. I like fantasy stuff. I like fantasy movies. Generally, they're a little on the cheesy side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hopefully, with all these video game movies coming out, because we had a handful last time, and we have a handful this time. There's a lot.
I know.
And hopefully, at least a few of them are actually good.
I hope so. I hope this one's good, because look who's in it. Dude, Jason Statham, the guy from The Transporter, handsome mm-hmm. Rub from The Italian Job, right? He's going to be in this Ron Perlman from Hellboy.
Yeah, action.
I like that actor. Guy. He should still be the guy, though, in goddamn Hitman, not what's his name.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah, him. Matthew Lillard, the guy from Scream. He was Shaggy in Scooby-Doo.
Also, I really like.
Yeah, no, he. Yeah,
I have dug him in everything he's done.
Yeah, he's, isn't he the guy who plays serial killer in Hackers?
Yes.
Right, okay. And, Burt Reynolds is in this, too. Isn't he playing as Boss Hogg in the Hazard movie?
I believe so.
Some guy from Lord of the Rings, John Rhys Davies or some crap. Christiana Loken, that's the chick who was in, she was like the evil robot in Terminator 3, but right. she's playing, I guess, Blood Rain. And then, I dig this chick. This chick's awesome. Lili, I can't even pronounce her last name, S-O-B-I-E-S-K-I. She's in, some movies I didn't like Glass House and Joyride, but she's in a movie called Joan of Arc, which was awesome. She's pretty cool, and I kind of dig her, so I hope this movie's good. There's even a new Superman movie coming out, and I still don't know if this is in good taste with Mr. Reeves' fairly recent passing.
Well, I don't know if I care about it being in good taste with him dying or not.
I don't know. It just seems like he was Superman. You can't do Superman without...
Which is why as big as they were and as big as this one probably will be, I'm actually kind of surprised they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really expect them to go for a fourth Superman.
Yeah, no, this is four. This is probably like number seven or something. Dude, wasn't there like six of the original ones? There was a shitload, wasn't there?
I thought there was only three.
Well, there very well could be, but it seems to me there was a bunch.
I don't know. I've only seen three,
either.
But...
I don't even think I've seen but maybe two of them ever, but I don't know. I thought there was a shitload for some reason, but I don't know. But this one's called Superman Returns. Sometime June 2006, the guy planted Brandon Routh, and then some chick, Kate Cosworth, Bosworth plays as Lois.
And he has that stupid hair twizzle
The curl,
thing.
Man. That's all about Superman. He always had that. It looked like greased up little slick right there.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that at all.
The only thing that I've seen, too, that's been released about this movie was there was a picture of the dude in the suit. And people were freaking out because it's not. And this is probably a good thing. Kobar set me straight. This is a good thing, because the suit doesn't look like his traditional suit. It was bright red and bright blue. It's like
it dark... It hurts the eyes.
You know, but a traditionalist part of me says, no, you can't change that. But it works for things, like Batman, and you know, change is good sometimes. And I'm looking at the new suit, where it's more of like a maroon cape and a darker blue, and you're probably right. It's probably going
to
work out.
I mean, you have to go with what is culture.
Right,
I mean, like, in the 70s, what was big, color scheme-wise? Orange and brown together. Right. Oh, my God, what a foul color combination.
What were they thinking?
And so I don't think it's such a bad thing that they're updating at least a little bit. It still looks like Superman's suit.
Yeah.
It's still got the big
old
ass.
Aquaman! Oh, Superman! What's going on, dog? Yeah, there's going to be no problem here. So.
The colors are toned down. It's a little more, little more now.
Mm-hmm. You're right. What else do we have here in comic movies still? X-Men 3. This is looking pretty decent, because at least we have a date now. I remember after seeing the second one, all I could think about was, my God, when is the third one coming out? I have a date for you. 5/26/2006. Only till next year. In fact, the Wolfman cometh in that month. That's May 2006 when Wolf is going to be back in the U.S. He's still in China, the bastard.
And will be.
You know, he's for a long time. The website for this is X-Men 3, that's the number 3, themovie.com, and there's nothing there at this point in time.
It's just a blank screen.
Yeah, it's ghetto, there's nothing there. Apparently there's supposed to be no Nightcrawler in this, but they're going to have a bunch of other people, and they're going to have, there's a few that are going to have really small parts, like, remember, it wasn't like Colossus, I could swear, was in the second part when they were busting out of the, just for like one scene, though?
Right.
These apparently are supposed to have bigger scenes, like Gambit is in there a bit. I know people are going just ape shit right now over that, because they're happy, because I know a lot of people are Gambit fans.
I do, too.
Angel and Beast.
The Beast was my favorite. For the same reason that Donatello was, I always liked a little more...
Donatello?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know...
Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
It's all about the little more intellectual guy.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Michelangelo.
Well, at least it's not Leonardo. I got so tired of people who go for... Or the guy who likes...
I want to like Raphael, but I can't do it. He's a prick. It's the same reason why I can't stand Cyclops. I hate him. He's an idiot. He's an asshole. Yeah. I don't like it.
I really can't understand why so many people always go for the lead like guy.
Look at Wolverine. Look at how popular Wolverine is. Though. But he's not like the lead guy. You've got like Cyclops.
Also a very, very popular...
You think he's as popular as Wolverine?
No.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way. They did a good job with the logo for X-Men 3, too. It's Wolverine's claw.
Yeah.
Genius.
The reason...
I wouldn't have thought of that to use it.
The only reason anybody likes Cyclops is because he's the leader.
Yeah, He has nothing else.
He's this bland character. Oh, yeah.
That's a reason to hate him, not like him.
Bland character that can shoot stuff out of his head.
Yeah.
Who the hell cares?
Yeah, you're right. And I'd say, just in case, I like Storm. So I was really happy that we had Storm in the first two so far. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Give him what for. I think Storm's cool because, you know what? You can control the weather.
Yeah, but Beast can walk on walls. That's just cool.
Storm can walk on water and thin air. She can float up the side of the wall. That's what I say. I don't know. Storm's always been really cool. I think she just kicks ass. But I'm looking forward to that. Video game movie. Doom 3, October 21st of this year.
It's The Rock.
How did what's-his-name not make it into this? Mr. Diesel.
Because he's already doing a... He's already doing a video game movie.
Right, right, yeah. Okay, I guess you're right.
Now, The Rock's okay. He's not a bad actor, I guess. It's just, I don't know.
He played a pretty convincing gay body protector. What is he, a guard?
Bodyguard
in Be Cool. He was pretty gay in that.
And he was pretty decent in that movie with Stifler that was in the jungle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but he did an okay job in that, too.
Yeah, I saw that, and that was all right. That was pretty good.
I don't know. He's just over the top.
Well, he's a pro wrestler. He's supposed to be all fucking aggro and stuff the whole time. Roar! You know?
With the eyebrow.
That's what sells him, though. That's what gave it away that was who that was and Be Cool for me when I saw the eyebrow. I'm like, oh, I know who that is. I actually really wasn't sure at the time. I had no idea.
We'll see. I don't know about this movie either. This could be really bad really quick.
This movie's going to suck.
Yeah, the Doom 3.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible. Well, I think I wrote Doom 3. I think it's just the Doom movie. I somehow tacked Doom 3 onto it. Yeah.
It could be okay.
I don't see how. How is this going to be okay? Like, okay, what'd you... Like, remember the Resident Evil movies? Mm-hmm. They were all right.
They were worth watching.
Yeah. Like, and I liked the second one a whole lot more than the first one, I thought.
I still have not seen the second
one. I thought it was good, because they had Nemesis in there, that creepy dude. You know, I don't know, I thought it was good. I liked it. And I can't stand the actress chick either. Mila Jojovich, or whatever the hell her name is, I can't stand her. But that, I thought, was a really good movie. Well, it had Jill, that's why I liked it. Right? But, I don't know. Doom movie... And they're like part of a group, though. You've got this guy from the Chronicles of Riddick and Lord of the Rings movie, Carl Urban, playing some character in there. And then you've got The Rock. And you're like, and they're like part of like a squad, though. You know, and Doom to me...
Yeah, I understand why they did it, because they have to have Interplay. Can't have a movie without Interplay, otherwise it'd be The Outcast 2.
Yeah.
Outcast?
No.
Castaway.
Castaway.
Right. Yeah. And so they need Interplay, but at the same time... It needs to be... It's supposed to be one dude against hell.
Yeah, exactly. Not an army. Well, but maybe they get separated, though.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of weird, though. Keep, like, flipping back and forth between people, and maybe they're lost in different parts in hell or whatever. I don't know, though. And it's pretty tough to, like, do hell. Has there been any movies where they did hell really good?
Yeah, but has there been any recently? I mean, the abilities...
Little Nicky!
Little Nicky does not count in the same sort of thing as this.
Bedazzled. Remember they had that one scene where the chick, that really smoking hot chick, turned to the devil? That looked all right for
hell. It was 98, though?
Yeah, you know, that was just mostly flames and a pedestal.
Yeah, you know the difference in special effects capabilities now compared to 98?
That's true.
They are huge.
Which is going to carry us right into what we wanted to talk about. We were looking at, Kobar showed me the intro for World of Warcraft today, which I hadn't seen, the little CGI intro thing.
Yeah, we were talking about CGI for something, probably Doom.
Probably.
And the baddies and whatnot.
Oh, right, yeah. And so that's going to be very interesting.
You have to check out the CGI of this.
Now, I watched this thing, and my just wow, that was awesome. That was really amazing. It was the first good thing I've seen out of World of Warcraft. It made me want to play this game. And then you get to the title screen, I'm like, oh yeah, I know this game. This sucks. I've seen this before. But dude, the Night Elf chick was smoking hot in that. The dwarf guy that was out there with the little panther, whatever he had in the very beginning, was so burly, you know? I mean, yeah. He just looked fucking real. All the characters they had looked so fantastic. Everything around them looked sweet. And it occurred to me, when are we going to see Blizzard Films Presents World of Warcraft?
Or anything, really, you know, because...
I would rather see them do World of Warcraft than, like, Diablo.
Yeah.
And I would not want to see them do StarCraft.
They probably would do. They probably would do World of Warcraft because you have
a few million people playing it, yeah.
And it's by far and away their most popular product thus far.
And they could, like, totally...
And there's a lot they could do with
exactly. They could tie it into the game, too. Yeah. You know, if something happens in the movie... You know, maybe a week or two after the movie's out, and then the outcome of the movie they would implement into the game, and you know, maybe a whole city would be lost to wherever, you know, and that would be kind of cool, you know, that'd be wow, that'd be something else. As a matter of fact, that'd be pretty neat if they did something that big. I would like to see that though, because their stuff, this is some top notch stuff here.
Anytime you can actually blow Square out of the water in CGI,
this did.
You are.
You're the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Welcome to the top. Can I rub your feet?
I admit that Square has lost its footing in a lot of areas as far as game goes, but they do CGI very well. And Blizzard does it better.
If only we could get Square to make a video game. What do you think about that? If they could make an actual game, not a couple movies.
Right.
That would be amazing. I'm hoping Enix there helps them out. Sorry, Square. I had to do it. Now that was our little preview movie section. I thought we did. See, this is our nice little laid out format here. We're moving on to real actual movie reviews. I'm going to save the best for last because I did see two movies that were not so hot. I got to see, this one's actually been out for a little bit, but I still missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hearing a lot of things about it. And it's called White Noise, and it sounded really, really interesting when I was thinking about, when people die, they leave behind impressions on things they were around a whole lot, like electronic equipment. I'm thinking to myself, man, when I am dying, it is the Matrix. You know, I am going to die, and I'm going to be in my computer, and I'm going to be talking to people through it still. You'll see me walking around the EverQuest world. Welcome to NORATH, fuckers.
You'll get stuck in IRC.
Yeah, I will.
Just be black and white. Text.
Yeah, and I could deal with that. I did it for years before we had the interweb. I could go back to that. I love it. But this movie, it's got Michael Keaton. What was he in? Batman?
Yes.
Wasn't he in that something like that? Batman. All right. Was Batman or?
Yes.
So, okay. All right. We're training C4 here in movie and culture and movie.
I believe one and two.
Really? I don't really know. I'm not going to go that far. So I'm already ahead, so I'm going to stop now. So basically, the plot of this whole movie was that Michael Keaton's got a wife and a kid. The wife dies. She gets killed. Like, not sure exactly what's going on. She just kind of like disappeared. They couldn't find her body. He was tripping out. They found her. She was like all broken and bruised and shit. Like fell off the side of the road or something. Not in her car. She was like changing a tire or something. But like he runs into like this like I hate to say like psychic type of character who. Tells him that his wife has, like, been talking to him, you know, and is trying to make contact. And it's creepy because he you know, Michael Keaton is all, oh my god, she's alive, I can communicate with her.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to, like, this dude's house who's got, like, TVs and all this, like, electronic equipment and stuff, you know, and the guy basically turns on the TV and watches static until you start thinking you're seeing things, you know, and, like, he's seeing, like, her face will flash by, but not, like, in color or nothing. I mean, this is just, like, the impression of her face through the static, maybe.
Right, right, like, and the white and black would coalesce just, a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And it keeps flipping scenes, though. Like, you keep seeing random shit, but then, and it's like she's calling his name, and he's tripped out, and then, like, he turns on the radio, and it'll have some weird static sound, which is always... sure sign that she was there or whatever, and if you listen to it long enough, you'll hear her voice in the background. And so he goes just absolutely nuts over this and buys like 10 TVs for the house and sets them all up recording in this uber fat computer to filter out the background noise and record all the audio. I mean, he goes just ballistic nuts on this trying to contact his wife and doesn't know why. And then he kind of like, I don't know, it seemed interesting, but unfortunately... I spent the whole movie basically watching static.
Oh, my God.
You know, and it just felt like...
I was
like,
worried about that while you were talking about it.
It just felt like, wow, this kind of sucks. Now, it is kind of creepy. You're hearing these creepy voices, you're seeing these random flashy, scary images, and then every now and again, a really creepy thing happens. Like a baby crying or a kid screaming or somebody thumping the inside of your TV tube, you know? Like, there's this one great scene where you know it's coming. He's trying to kiss her at the monitor, and then something freaky happens just as he's there, you know? And it's just like, ah. Not only did I see that coming, everybody saw it coming. It was just I'm still looking ecstatic the whole time. So then, the guy who, like, hooked him up with, like, how this works, that gets murdered, and it all of a sudden becomes this, like, really gimpy, like, there's a kidnapped girl murder mystery kind of deal going on, and he basically ends up tracking down a guy using clues through his wife, which are supposed to be some scary clue. It's like there's she's telling him to run away and don't help, but he thinks, contact me and help me and save me. She's telling her it's a dark, evil, scary place here. Don't communicate with us. This is bad. Go away. But save this girl. So then he like winds up like stumbling upon some, you know, some guy who like kidnapped some girl, and she was next in line to be killed because he figured out like who they were killing based on like who was visiting this psychic guy and all this dumb shit. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that was pretty bad as it was. I was just like, wow, that is really weak. But then it got incredibly worse at like the last 10 minutes of the movie all of a sudden. If you've ever seen, oh no, we had a big problem with this. What was the name of that movie?
House on Haunted Hill.
House on Haunted Hill, where the movie was great. I thought House on Haunted Hill was fantastic until the end, where you have like this apparition following you around through this place, chasing you down, which doesn't make you scared because you weren't scared of it throughout the whole movie.
Now, there was two movies that were very similar, The Haunted and House on Haunted Hill. Which one was the one that, was it House on Haunted Hill that was going along with the movie, all of a sudden, like, there's 10 minutes left, and it just, like, totally changes.
Right.
And the ending is just like,
what the hell? Because all of a sudden there's this apparition, like this black smoky cloud following them around through the house, and all of a sudden, they weren't here for that. Oh, wait, no, but you're thinking of The Haunting, where it was totally cool, they were just tripping, and then all of a sudden the house got all tweaked and weird.
Yeah.
That's, no,
and
that's
then
The
all
Haunting.
All of a sudden, just, the whole movie just changed in the last 10 minutes.
And House on Haunted Hill, though, which was the same idea, the same problem I had, is right at the end, all of a sudden they threw in the bad guy evil character, which is this ghostly form, that, like, you weren't scared of, because you didn't run into him occasionally. Mm-hmm. If they would have had that shown in there occasionally, you know, just peppered throughout the movie, you'd run across him, that would be uber, because there would be a little fear with you built up. Right. Not just all of a sudden, oh, it's the end of the movie, we need a bad guy, here's this ghostly black cloud that's going to follow the people around, and apparently that's what's responsible for all this stuff. Bam, end of the movie. That's exactly what they did in this movie. All of a sudden, he catches this kidnapper dude, and then the kidnapper guy's like going out of his mind, he's like all crazy, and he's like, the voices, they made me do it, you know, they're like making me do it, and it turns out to be like these just ghostly black form of people. And, you know, they swarm all over him, and it's the end of the movie. And it's just like, this is so gay. Yeah, you know what? Where the hell did this come from? You know, that was stupid. There should have been a much more cool explanation for this, you know? I was not too satisfied with that movie. I would have to say, in movies now, I have my ticket right here, are $8.75. I'm going to keep a movie ticket handy, just so I remember this. $8.75.
I'm here.
At least, yeah, here, yeah, in SAC, I heard it's like $9.50, but up here it's $8.75, and I like having a weird number. So, I'm going to say this movie is probably a 250 out of 875. Yeah, you might want to drop the coin to rent it. Maybe.
Maybe.
You know, but no, I don't think so. Now, a big movie that was supposed to be really big. Bruce Willis. Everybody, action hero, superstar, you know. Bruce Willis, man. Die Hard, right? Fantastic guy. They put him in a movie called Hostage as a hostage negotiator. Mm-hmm. I knew right from the start this was going to get real hands-on. I mean, this is Bruce Willis.
Right.
He's not going to be on the other end of a phone the whole movie. There's no way, right? And it starts out, I don't know if I saw this coming or if everybody did or if this has been done 75 times. He starts out, the movie opens up, he's on the other end of the phone with some guy who's got his family trapped in their house. He's the guy who's trying to talk him down. He's like, this doesn't have to happen today, nobody's going to die here, it's going to be all good, you know. Long story short, the first 50 minutes of the movie, the guy says, fuck you, kills his wife, his kid, and himself. Bruce Willis is heartbroken, moves to some small town out of L.A., moves his whole family out there to have a nice, quiet life, because it was so traumatic, you know, to have lose this one family. I mean, does this happen all the time in movies, or is it just me?
Enough.
I guess so, because, I don't know, it just seemed kind of cheesy.
And frankly, that's the negotiator's job. They deal with that probably on a yearly basis.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I'm sure they don't all pull a movie, though, and just move out of town.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's their job.
Yeah, but, I mean, Jesus. He just, so anyway, he moves out to this new town, and he's now like the chief of police or whatever. He's like a sheriff there, though. He's like high up on the list, but not like uber high, right? Right. But high enough that he can walk around and do whatever the hell he wants in this town, for the most part. So now he lives this nice little quiet life where he's, you know, without all that stress of whatever, and his biggest thing seems to be, like, parking tickets, right? And these three kids, these troubled youths, I'm going to call them, they look troubled. You know, they look like they're on drugs and stuff, right?
Damn potheads!
Yeah. And they're driving, like, this beat-up-ass truck around town. They see this, like, an Escalade, like a really nice car. And they're like, we're going to steal that car, because these kids drive around, they steal cars, right? Well, turns out that this is, like, the super rich family, right? So they follow to their house, and it's, like, the dad and a daughter, and then a son. The son's really young, the daughter's, like, 17 or something, and I'm sure in a year she'll be really hot. So we'll have to come back to her in a year, then. And basically what happens is they go to steal this guy's car, right? It starts out innocent enough. They go into the house, and, like, they end up, like, getting caught, and they knock the dad out, but, like, the guy hit him so hard he fell over and, like, almost killed him, right? Like, he hit his head on something when he fell or whatever. So now they're panicking. They're in this house, and they're panicking, and it's really strange to set it up, but all of a sudden they're now, like, in a hostage situation. They've got these kids trapped in this house, and the police have been notified because, like, they find out. What happens is that it was, like, an accident, though. They're in the house. They lift their truck outside, so they're like, the police officer happened to... Oh, no, they hit the silent alarm. That's what it was. So a cop went by. I'm trying to remember, like, hell, how they got there. They saw this truck outside, and the police officer came to the door, and they wouldn't let the police officer in, and they had, like, the girl talking to her or whatever, you know, and, like, or the father before, like, while he could talk or whatever. Somebody talking to him to make it sound like it was okay. But then one of the dudes starts shooting the cop. So... One of the kids, yeah, shoots the cop. Now, this kid is demented, and this was the saving grace of this movie was this kid, I thought. This kid, who looks like a young Trent Reznor, I swear to God, this kid was fucking evil, man. And he just shoots the cop, and then, like, they get other cops there, and all of a sudden, hostage situation. Now, they're in a multi-million dollar house. They hit the security button, it locks the doors and windows with, like, plates of, you know, bulletproof glass and shit, and there's secret vaults and shit in the house, and it's pretty neat. Well, Bruce Willis is just like, well, this is none of my business. Now that you know, bigger cops are here, you know, we can go home. This has been turned over to the, you know, whoever, so I'm going home. And he's supposed to go meet his wife, who he's going through a divorce with, or almost going to get divorced, and they're a troubled kid. I mean, it's got this whole background.
Right.
And then what happens is you find out that there's, like, something else going on. The dad, the rich guy, was involved in money laundering. That's how he made so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got this CD in his house with all the data on it, and the bad guys want it. You know, the corporation owners, they need this disc right away. Well, they see it on TV that, holy shit, we can't even get in this house now, and all of our stuff is on this guy's thing. If they find out, we're going down. And this is millions of dollars if we don't have this DVD. So they kidnap Bruce Willis's wife and daughter and force him to go into the house and get it. And so it's kind of a cool setup, you know? Like, it really seemed to play out well.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get these demented kids that are just shooting at people, and you get the one kid who's, like, setting shit on fire. I mean, this kid is twisted, though. And they had some whole story for him, though. Like, he watched his mother die, and ever since then he's been all screwed up, and he used to, like, rob 7-Elevens at night, but he'd shoot the guy and then watch him die, you know? And, like, just this twisted stuff. And it was a pretty damn good movie. There was just, I mean, I don't know, and the kids running around the house got a little old after a while. They would tie him up, and the little kid would get away, and he had all these, like, little secret crawl spaces and stuff. And I don't know, it was all right, but wholly unbelievable. But it was pretty decent. Out of, I'd say, $8.75, this movie deserves a solid $6. It wasn't bad at all.
Okay.
Definitely worth a rental. You know, a rental price today is, like, what, $3 or something?
Even matinee?
I don't know.
Although it's been out for...
I don't know. I've been to the movie. I go to my once-a-year pilgrimage to the theater, you know?
I think matinee is $5.25.
Oh, okay. Okay. Definitely worth that, then. But I saw... What I'm going to have to state is probably the movie of the year.
Goodness.
I'm going to call it already, because there's not an X-Men release this year, right? That was next year, right? I don't see anything beating this. It's going to be tough, because I really enjoyed this. And I've got the ticket right here. Batman Begins, baby. This movie was fat.
Unfortunately, I still have to see it.
I know. This was. I know. The worst part was we totally went to go see it, and it didn't happen. And then, like, the next week, I saw it. And I was like, ah, damn. Kobar's going to kick my ass. I'm just going to pretend I didn't see it and go watch it with him, and then we'll get it over with. But that didn't happen either. It's been too long. But anyway, you've got Christian Bale, the guy from American Psycho. He plays as Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
You've got...
Which I can see.
Yeah, you know, he does a pretty good job.
I'm sure he did a fine job.
Yeah, he really did. He did. Michael Caine as Alfred. Katie Holmes as Rachel Dawes. Morgan Freeman as Lucius Fox. And as Scarecrow and Dr. Jonathan Crane was Cillian Murphy. And he's in something that a lot of people know. 28 Days Later, I think. Mm. I think that's what he's in. Look, I'm getting good at this. Damn.
Alright.
Look at that. See? Notes are good, people. I tell you what, this movie, some people had an issue with the story when they were telling me about it. They were just like, oh, I don't know, it kind of sucks. Now, first of all, you're in for a 2.5 hour movie. And the first hour of this movie is, like, dialogue. It's seriously, at some point, you're just like, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen. But it's not boring, it's just that it's not action-packed. So you can't go into it expecting Batman kicking ass in the first 2 minutes. Even though he does, he's not Batman yet. It really does a hell of a good job of explaining how Batman, how Bruce Wayne became Batman. Mm-hmm. And it broke it all down, from childhood to current day.
And although it's a little different, I think that's what made Spider-Man 2 so good. It's because there was more story involved. Right. There was more real life. It's not just, oh, some super dude kicking ass. There was reason behind him being.
Right. Exactly. Like this here, he's got, you know, he starts out as a normal kid. He's got a fear of bats because of one time when he fell in a well or, you know, and was chased around by bats and stuff, and he freaks out and he has nightmares, but then he blames himself for getting his father killed and stuff. I mean, it's really well done because you're starting to feel for this guy at some point. Mm-hmm. And they do a good job of flipping from the past when he was a kid, explaining why, to the future, to the present of what's happening now and how that's affecting him. It does a hell of a good job. Then the dude from the movie with the lightsabers, Star Wars, what's the guy's name? I don't know what his name is, but what's his name in Star Wars?
In Star Wars, it's... Oh, hell.
Qui-Gon Jinn. Qui-Gon Jinn. All right. Yeah, we're getting good at this. So he's in this, and he basically, he has a proposal for Bruce Wayne and basically tries to teach him some stuff and wants him to become, like, this part of this group and all this stuff. So basically, he gets trained as a ninja. Mm-hmm. So to me, I'm thinking Batman is a trained ninja. Right? Now, this went from being Batman, some dude in, like, gray and blue tights,
right,
to a trained ninja in a black suit. Right. Batman all of a sudden got a whole lot cooler. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought that was really, really well done. And then the movie goes on to explain piece by piece, because they've already explained how he got to become this Batman persona, how he got to become Batman with the gadgets, right? Because his you know, father built the Wayne Enterprises, right?
Which is
the richest shit in Gotham, okay? And I think before we were talking about this, and I said something about the government and stuff, I just was kind of making an example and stuff. It's his corporation that developed the gadgets.
Right.
Right, which is, and Morgan Freeman is in charge of it, and that guy's just great. So he's just like, hey, I know what you're doing. You're doing some crazy shit with this. I don't care. Here's some cool stuff to play with that, you know, nobody wants.
But basically his cue.
You know, yeah. So he gives him, like, the suit, you know. He's like, yeah, this is some material that we worked on for, you know, this combat suit for the military. So he tries it out, and it doesn't work. So then he's like, okay, well, you know, What about you know, different material? And then he's like, well, we made this material for this. And then he gets all into it. And it even explains how he got the freaking Bat Cave. And it's not just like, oh, there's this cave behind this waterfall that nobody ever noticed. It's like, there's no way anybody could have got there because there's a huge gap between the end of the cliff, the waterfall's there, and behind it you can't see this cave. Mm-hmm. Well, it explains, he finds it through like this tunnel when he was combating his fears. He turned it into the damn Bat Cave, right? It's so good. It's just like, wow, yeah, they did a hell of a good job. How does he get in and out of something like that, though, right? Because remember, the Batmobile's in this, too. How do you get over that gap? Mm-hmm. So he's got this car in Morgan Freeman's little test arena. He modifies it to become the Batmobile. And I'm not so sure about this car yet. This is one of the... This is probably like the one thing I wasn't so sure about in the movie. There's three things I didn't like, one thing I wasn't so sure about, and the rest was just beautiful. The one thing I wasn't so sure about was seriously, the car. Mm-hmm. The Batmobile is so far from the Batmobile that it's just like, you don't even want to call it that. You know, because now it's all of a sudden like a... It's like Hummer meets an ATV, like a four-wheeler ATV, and it's like a Hummer. This thing is armored to the teeth, and it's big enough that you can get like two people in there, but it drives like a cockpit when you're in there. You know, it seals you up and everything. You're right in like a shiny black bullet now. But it's still pretty cool, but my issues with it were like, it's not the Batmobile. Like, it's so far from that. And it drives on rooftops when he wants it to. You know, and it's just kind of weird because it seems like it would be really, really heavy too. You know, so I wasn't so sure about it.
Well, the Batmobile in the past can like latch onto a wall.
Well,
and
yeah, I guess
it.
You're right. Huh?
And so it's okay to me that it wasn't the Batmobile, because this is all supposed to be precursor stuff.
Right.
Before he's really, truly Batman right. and been Batman for a while. Yeah. And
that's true. Because it is. It is Batman Begins. This right. is how he became Batman and the first damn things he done. Why he's after criminals. Why he's after the bad guys. And how he balances his corporation still and his normal life. Mm-hmm. They did such a good job with all these elements of the story. You know, and there was even a whole lot to him taking over his corporation again and, you know, getting thrown out and all this kind of stuff, right? And thinking he was dead and everything. And they did a hell of a job in you know, 2.5 hours of this. It blew my mind. Even how he gets, like, his little guns and toys and shit. Mm-hmm. But, like, the bad things with it. It was even funny. Dude, there was parts of it where you just can't help but laugh because you're just like, that was great. I can't believe he said that or did that or anything, you know? And they did a good job. They had some great work, some great computer animation in that too, because there's the Scarecrow's in this, and he's got this drug. It's a hallucinogenic drug, right. And he sprays you with it, and he's got this creepy fucking mask. You know, it looks like a beat up Scarecrow mask, but like when you're tripping, you see like maggots crawling out of it and stuff, and his voice is all distorted, and it's really cool. But Batman gets his revenge one time and manages to get it sprayed on him, and he gets like this like bat head. And it's like a head of a bat on him. And he's like talking mad smack. And it's just like, wow, that was fucking awesome. It was really good. The people, you know, I saw it with loved it. It was great. I mean, there was some issues, though. The issues were, I had three problems. Two, which were my own. One was brought up to me because I didn't catch it. The story was basically that the bad guys were going to poison basically the city and take over the city using his drug. They put it into the water supply and it doesn't react. Once it got over all of, like, a certain island, you know, Gotham Island out there in, like, the part of the city, they had this item which they stole from Wayne Enterprises, you know, which evaporated, like, all water in the area, right? So they stole this item, planning to use it in that city to, once they had their poison-type stuff in the water system, it would just, boom, come up through the ground, and everybody would be tripping balls, and it was really neat. But, so, what about the water in your body? They pulled this off, right?
Right.
In the movie. And you've got the water from everywhere around you evaporating. Just bam. How come all these people were able to stand around and just be cool with that when you're made up of water?
Yeah.
Okay, now that was brought up to me. Yeah, I didn't catch it. But you know what? That is a huge, like, wait, what the fuck in this movie, you know? So I'm not so sure about that. I mean, that was kind of weird. But the Batmobile thing kind of, okay, Batman's voice. Okay, because when he's talking as Bruce Wayne, he's just fine. But then he puts on that mask and he's like, I am the Batman. Like, he gets this really creepy voice all of a sudden. And it's just like, stop trying so hard to act like a hard ass, you know? I am the Batman. I will kill you. You know, and it's just like, dude, stop it. And unfortunately, he talks a lot, so you have to put up with him talking like that the whole time.
Right.
I'm just going to do the whole show in the rest of this voice, okay? Because it's really creepy and you have to get used to it. Because I am the Batman. It just, I don't know, man, it creeped me out. My only other problem was a Scarecrow was a fucking pussy. What superhero do you know has been taken out by, like, a taser? You know? He's basically a pansy. Now, and I understand that he is, and that he doesn't have all these superpowers, but it would have been nice if he was a little threatening.
Mm-hmm.
He was scary, and he was demented as all hell, and that was awesome. But he should have been threatening, like scary, though, but he wasn't. The Batman showed him what's up. I couldn't buy it. I couldn't buy the Batman voice. I couldn't buy the Scarecrow. And then the Batmobile thing was a little iffy. I got over it because it right. explained how he gets into his Batcave because it jumps. It has like rocket boosters and he just,
right. pfft,
and he launches off into the Batcave. And there was a lot of drama, a lot of like things between him and Katie Holmes, who played the girl, you know, and it was a great movie. And I would say out of 875, this gets 775. This is up there. It's near flawless.
Very good.
There's a serious issues, I think, with that voice. and they need to do work on the bad guys a little bit. We know Batman's a badass. Now make the bad guys badass. And I don't want to spoil this for anybody, but I'm going to.
No.
It's not a real bad thing. It's not like I'm spoiling this one, okay? But it sets you up for another one, basically. Okay, like you can kind of assume they're going to make one, though, right? I'm not spoiling anything. They mention that there's a new villain in town called the Joker. That's basically, you know.
Well, that's either saying, okay, we're setting up a new movie or tying it into the right. original one.
Right, you know. They can go anywhere from here. They could even not do, you know, they could do a second one without the Joker, where the Joker is telling other people what to do, though. and he has to fight little minions to get to the Joker for a movie or two. You know, I mean, they could even set it up like that, however, whatever, but I just wanted to let everybody know that it's doing good. This movie's doing pretty good in the theater, and I'm happy about that, because this was a damn good movie. It is a much more darker, scarier, realistic Batman, not that cartoony Batman and Robin bullshit of the past.
Right.
So that, I think, well, about does it.
I think so.
All right, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
Take this red sickness from my head. That mean rogue, unstealth, and made me dead. I guess I didn't know exactly where he stood. I would have rooted him and moonfired his ass good. 'Cause I'm just a druid, little night elf me. A pretty night elf druid, stealth out of sight. An all-girl sexy druid, I stand about 6 feet. Don't you think that this leather fits me? To be, you'll find me playing Lothar server.